It's not what we're turning. But a lot of y'all say, oh, sorry about that. The book of Timothy is actually not written to you. When Paul wrote the book of Timothy, he wrote it to Timothy. It was for him. And that conversation was initially designed to be between two people, Paul and Timothy. But God felt it necessary to make that a script that was available to the entire body of Christ. So whenever we read certain letters, what we're actually doing is divine eavesdropping on a conversation that was not meant for us, but in eternity was meant for us. So today, you're going to be a part of some divine eavesdropping, because I believe the Lord has given me a word for Pastor Jason Scales. You just get to hear it. So hopefully something good will come out of it for you as well. Tell your neighbor, let's just eavesdrop. Let's eavesdrop. Let's eavesdrop. Amen. So we're all going to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 25, verse number 1, in the New Living Translation. Genesis chapter number 25, verse number 1. This is a Rhema word. I've never preached it before. And this is specified for the house. I believe that it is for your man of God, your woman of God, and then it will trickle down to you. Genesis 25, verse number 1. I feel God's presence so strong in this place. Thank you, God. Genesis 25 and 1. New Living Translation. In Genesis chapter 25, verse number 1. And verse number, no, I'm just going to read verse number 1. Abraham married another wife. Ooh, I didn't even know he had another wife. Whose name was Keturah, which sounds kind of hood. Keturah. She gave birth to Zimran, Jokshan, or Jokshan, that's what I want to look at it as, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. And Abraham married another wife. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, and your kindness. I ask that you would speak through your vessel with clarity and briefly, because our attention span is short, Lord, so we don't want to be here longer than we need to be. And whoever's phone is on right now, God, I just pray that they would put it on silent, because I'm trying to preach up here, and Siri is talking while I'm talking, and it's just not working out. But other than that, Lord, we just bless you that we're going to feel your presence today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all can laugh. It's all right. Y'all so serious. We're in a divine moment. I come against that. Amen. God is good. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. At my church, y'all, my church ghetto, so I don't know. I'll be in the middle of preaching. You talk about 2 Chainz, all kind of ringtones. I'm like, turn y'all ringtone. I'm like, and the Lord says, here, teach me how to duckie. Teach me. I'm like, come on, y'all. Turn it off. Amen. God is kind. Well, this word is going to be spread through the house because you're eavesdropping, but you might as well look at somebody and encourage them, affirm them, and I mean really look them in the eye and say these words, you've still got it, you've still got it. And if they didn't say it right, find somebody else, tell them, you've still got it. All the arrogant people are like, I know, I still got it. That's why I'm 70 and I still wear miniskirts, because I still got it. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. We ain't talking about that yet. You still got it. The father of faith, Abraham, has been a major discussion, especially in this day and age where everyone feels as though they have all the intelligence, knowledge, and wisdom in the world, especially if you watch YouTube. Everybody wants to know the ethnicity of Abraham. And what was Abraham all about? Because he is described as the father of faith. And those of us that understand the covenant of Abraham, and those of us that understand the grace principle and the covenant of grace, know that whatever blessing Abraham had, those of us that receive Christ Jesus, we are entitled to that same blessing. Sadly, many of you have no idea, and because of that, you don't listen, and you know you have a great teacher and preacher, but we don't pay attention. We don't listen, and so we don't know that within the Abrahamic covenant is debt-free living, prosperity, healing for your body, strength for your heart, peace in your mind. For the Bible declares to us, whatever blessing Abraham has, you have a right to that same blessing. It says, but that rest that is available, that has been given to us since the beginning of time, has not been experienced by all people because they did not mix it with faith. That if they had faith to believe that God has made this accessible and available for them, they would stop living beneath their privileges, but be blessed the same as Father Abraham. Well, this man named Abraham is an interesting character because if you research his history, he was a moon worshiper who did not even necessarily technically believe in our God. But upon hearing the voice of God one day, God spoke to him and said, Abraham, his name was Abram at the time, if you leave your home country or your place of familiarity and follow my voice, I'm not going to give you specificity as pertaining to where I'm taking you in the destination. I'm simply asking you to move away from what you're accustomed to and follow my voice. I will lead you not only to success, but to good success. Tell somebody you need good success. You need good success. That is to say that there are other measures of success that are available, which means that the enemy can give you a form of success. But if it is not a godly good success, it has no guarantee of permanence. But when God gives you success, it is a good success, and it brings no sorrow with it. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow. And so he says, Abram, all I need you to do is follow me. This is preposterous. This is insane. This is ridiculous. You want me to leave my place of familiarity where my family is and my friends are and the place that I've grown up in that I've known my whole life, following simply your voice telling me to move in a different direction and everything's going to be all right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what faith is. And the fact of the matter is many of you have lived beneath your privilege because you have become so comfortable with individuals who have absolutely no desire to see you go to another level. So you'd rather live in a place of mediocrity just so you can be around your old friends. But if my old friends are hindering my purpose and my destiny, I need some new friends and I need to go in a new direction. Well, Abram didn't even argue with God. The Bible says that he decided to pack up and leave. And so he packed up, he left, following the voice of the Lord, starting on a journey where the Lord began to increase him on every side. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that even though he was obedient to God, he was a man with massive issues. I need to talk to all the legalistic individuals in the room today who honestly believe that the goodness of God is predicated on the goodness of man. Y'all know that can't be true because we're too inconsistent. The Bible declares that even at our best, our righteousness is still a filthy rag. So you're not ever good enough to receive the goodness that God has for you. The way that you access the goodness of God is not in your behavior or how good you are. It's in your submission and your obedience to him, which is why God still blesses people who got issues. You ain't gonna say amen right there because you don't want nobody to know you got issues, but every person on your row got an issue of some sort, and the Lord has still been good to you. That's a good place to thank God for his grace right there. How do you know this man named Abram? How you doing, Mr. Drummer? How do you know this man named Abram had issues? Well, the Bible declares that he and his wife were of older age, but while they're traveling one day, his wife, who was considered in her older age to be so fine that the Pharaoh, one of the kings of Egypt, saw her. That's why I got to talk to some of y'all who think because you got a few miles on you that you still can't be fly. I need you to fix that right now. I'm trying to be cold at 80 years old with a cane and got on an Armani suit. Y'all ain't talking to me. You can still put the red bottoms on when you're 65 years old. You may have to take them off a little quicker, but you still can put them on. Get you some Tory Burch sandals. Slip those on after your feet start hurting. But the Bible says she was gorgeous, and the Pharaoh looked, and he saw her, and he said, who is this fine, dark woman and her beautiful melanin and skin tone and texture? Y'all don't like that, but research it. You'll find out that's what they looked like. And so he says, bring her to me. And then the Bible declares that Abram, because he was afraid, said, look, don't tell them that you're my wife. Tell them that you're my sister, because technically we do have lineage that way, being that we have the same father. And so tell them that you're my sister. That way they won't hurt me. First of all, we see an issue in Abraham because he's a coward, and a cowardly man can't cover his woman. Y'all quiet in this place. So that was an issue that God needed to work out of him, finding out later that he does become courageous and strong. But in that particular passage, he was cowardly, afraid for his own life more than he cared about his woman's life. Because a man who truly is bold to protect his family would rather die than to see that which God has given him taken from him out of his fear. Y'all quiet. And so the text declares that Abram watches the woman that he loves taken away from him because he was a liar full of fear. The scripture tells us that while this man is getting ready to embrace his wife, marry his wife, the Lord steps in because God is good even when we're lying, even when we're fearful, even when we're full of issues, and says, I will not let him violate what is yours. I wish I had help today. Did you know that the reason why the enemy can't violate what's yours is not because you're so perfect, but because you serve a perfect God who has kept his promises to his people that will be obedient
So then why did God step in? Because even though Abram had issues, he was still walking in obedience. He had still fulfilled the initial request of God, who said, Abram, I want you to leave your country and follow me. That's all he said. He never said, when you leave, I need you to be perfect. I need you to have this in place. I need you to have that in place. God said, I knew when I told you to leave, you had issues. So not only am I going to guard you financially, I also have to cover your issue, because I know that in order for you to get where you're going, I've got to make sure that you are maintained. I've got to make sure that nobody can degrade you and look down on you. So what I'll do is I'll deal with your issue as long as you walk in obedience. I'll tolerate your imperfection as long as when I say lift your hands go up in the air. I'll deal with the fact that you still got somebody on the side, and I won't uncover you as long as you continue to go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because God knows if you keep walking in obedience, eventually the issue will be resolved. See, it's not God that's judgmental, it's y'all. Oh, no, it's y'all. Y'all comedians to me, people talking about, only God can judge me. I'd much rather have you judge me than God judge me. Because when God starts judging, people start dying. When you judge me, you just mad. Only God can judge me. Stop, you're not Tupac. You need to get your life together. Here's how it goes. We all got issues. We all have things that we're dealing with in secrecy and privacy, whether it is depression, whether it is some sorrow over the loss of an individual, whether it is an insecurity about a past failure, something that plagues us that tries to make us think that we're less than what we should be in God. And God's requirement for obedience has never been perfection. It has always been submission. He has never said to you, if I can't use you unless you're perfect. You know that's not true, because every individual he used in the Bible had some massive issue of some sort, and yet we still honor them like they're the greatest people in the world. You can't deal with your sister on your row because you know she's got an issue, but you think David is the greatest character in the Bible when the Bible says he was a terrible father, a terrible husband, an adulterer, a cheater, a murderer. Oh, now we don't want to talk about David now, but you want to dance like David danced, but you can't be tolerant with a person that has grown up in a house where they were molested and they were treated dirty, and now they have a sexual perversion, and you say they need to get out of here, when God is saying, as long as you're obedient, I can tolerate you, because I'm getting ready to transform something in your life. What is the church if not a place of hope, not a place of transformation, not a place of change? Abram has one name that represents him. He's walking in obedience. He's a liar. He's fearful, but God says, keep being obedient and I'll work it out. It's text. It's the Bible. The Bible says where sin did abound, that much more did grace abound, which means you can't out-sin God's grace. If you stay in grace, it transforms you. It does not conform you. Y'all got to get this. This is why so many preachers are afraid of the gospel of grace. This gospel of grace, they're telling people they can sin. If you've ever said that, then you don't understand what grace really represents. Grace does not give you an excuse to sin. It excuses you from sin. Or in other words, it removes you from the law of sin, which creates a dimension where you can't do anything you want to do. You have to submit to the sinful nature that is within you. But when you receive the grace of God, he empowers you to be free. And how do I get grace? By faith and submission. Abram had faith and submission. He's sitting there in his room knowing that he's done wrong, saying, what have I done? My wife is now with another man because I was fearful. But then God stepped in right when the Pharaoh was going to touch her, and the Lord troubled him and said, don't touch her, I'll kill you. He stops. He says, wait a minute, who are you? And she says, well, I'm married to that man. He says, how could he do this to me? Now, this is really messed up. Read the text on your own. Understand in the book of Genesis, when it says that Abram makes this horrible decision, it says that Abram now is called by the Pharaoh. He comes before the Pharaoh. He says, man, why would you have me do this when you know this woman is your wife? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you, give you your wife, and send you on your way. Because the text tells us that he gave Abram cattle, and he gave Abram gold, he gave him silver, and then he gave him his wife back and sent him on his way. How do you get a blessing with an issue? How is God still bestowing grace upon you when you just lied? Because the goodness of God is not predicated on the goodness of man. God is nothing but good, even when we're good for nothing. Yeah, and see, when you begin to learn to love God for his goodness, the Bible says, with loving kindness have I drawn you, then he begins to work the issue out of you. This is why I don't mind my church smelling like weed. How do you get thousands of people to come to your church? Because I don't mind it smelling like weed. Why? Oh, I can't believe they let people smoke weed over there. Yeah, and you let gossipers in your church. Because the Bible doesn't say that the seven sins that God despises, one of which is weed smoking, but it says one that is a talebearer, if accuses the brethren, that is an abomination. Why do you not mind them smelling like weed? Because if I can keep them coming, I'll get them to stop smoking weed. Y'all quiet in here. Y'all quiet. What is the church if not a place of hope? Abram had an issue. God blesses him. Stay with me now because I'm getting ready to say something very powerful, very profound. The Lord speaks to him and says, I'm going to change your name now. See, he stayed with God, and God said, now I'm going to change your reputation. You will no longer be known as a moon worshiper, but I'm going to create in you the father of faith. Many nations shall be produced out of you. Had God given up on him because of his issue, he would have never transformed into who God wanted him to be. So God teaches us in leadership, and this is why your pastor is so relevant and so strong in this day and age, because he has a compassion for people. And the Lord says, if you're going to see the body of Christ grow, there must be a tolerance for imperfection. Now, I'm about to help y'all. The church will receive your issue, but the church cannot tolerate your mess. What are you saying? There's a difference. An issue is something on the inside of you you desire to be resolved. Mess is a state of mind that you don't want to get out of. In other words, I have a problem, Lord. I got an issue. I'm in fornication. Mess is I came to church to try to get some draws. Yuck. Don't get quiet now. Huh? Issue is I have a drug problem, Lord. I need deliverance. Mess is I came looking for the next person I can sell to. Yeah. We don't do mess. We do issue. So the Bible declares that Abram now has his name changed to Abraham. Sarai's name is changed to Sarah. And the Lord speaks to Abram. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He puts inside of him a promise. He says, I'm putting something on the inside of you. I didn't call you because you were perfect. I didn't call you because you were the most skilled. I didn't call you because you were the most amazing individual. I called you because you were obedient. And because you were obedient to me, even with your issues, you kept following me. You kept trusting me. I covered you. Even then, you didn't do everything right. You didn't get everything perfect. You did have your errors and your mistakes along the way, but I chose you. I selected you. I anointed you, Jason, to be the leader that would birth many nations. But you was just talking about Abraham. I told you I was eavesdropping. He says, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to birth a child through you. His wife says, wait a minute. He 100 and I'm 90. And if you read the story, this is what, Sister Deborah, this is one of my favorite stories because people always focus on the fact that Sarah said, and Sarah said in her old age, shall I have a child in this old age? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, Sarah says, shall I know pleasure in my old age? Sarah was thinking about sex, not the baby. Y'all quiet in here. When the angel said, God said, you're going to have a baby, Sarah said, you mean to tell me he going to do what he used to do back when he could do it? She immediately thought about pleasure. And she laughed. And the angel said, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. She said, yeah, you laugh. What the Lord said will come to pass. And we're going somewhere. Stay with me. The text says that all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but angels in heaven got together. One of them got on the bass. One got on the guitar. The other one got on the keyboard. One got on the drums. And one got on the mic. And they said, bow, 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 bow. I've been trying all night. That didn't really happen. That didn't really happen. Let's get it on. That didn't really happen. I was like, is that in there? Marvin Gaye is in the Bible? No, he's not. I'm just playing. But whatever the case, without the help of appeal, Abram came to life. I didn't even go deep, so don't y'all get nervous. And the Bible says that they had, look at you, look at you. It's okay to laugh. What'd you say? You got to be happy when you leave here today. Somebody texting right now, this is the devil. It's really not. It's really not. The Bible says that Sarah got pregnant. She gives birth to a son. His name is Isaac. Now, all of that is a setup for the next line. Once that child was born, we find that preachers teach about Isaac. And we know there was another child birth prior named Ishmael That was the result of Sarah's impatience with God and her not having the ability to birth a child, whatever. So we know about Ishmael and Isaac. But rarely do you hear anyone speak about what happened after Sarah died. The Bible says that Abraham had been told by God, you will be the father of many nations. Now, I will bless them through Isaac, but as many stars as in the sky, you will have seed. Sand on the beach, you will have seed. More than you can number and you can count. And everybody, oh, Ishmael and Isaac. But the text says that at 127 years old, Sarah died. When she died, Isaac, her son, was devastated. He was hurt. He was 37 years old. He was crushed. And the Bible declares that Abraham, in his old age, he says, I need you to do this. He tells his servant, go and find my son a wife. See, because back then, fathers had to help their sons pick their wives because the father had wisdom. See, nowadays, the fathers are absent, so that's why a lot of men don't know how to choose a woman, and there are a lot of women who don't understand how to be chosen. So this wisdom, he says, go. Now watch this, y'all. He sends his servant. He says, go and find my son a wife. When he finds his son a wife, he finds this beautiful woman named Rebecca at a well, and he says to her, who do you belong to? Who's your family? They find the family, and the servant begins to declare. He says, my master Abraham, I am his servant, he has requested that I find his son a bride. Then he starts going down the line. My master is very rich, for the Lord has made him rich. Ladies, let me help y'all today. There should be some kind of benefit to connecting to this person. Here's what y'all say. He got potential. Do you know potential can be untapped until the day he dies? He says, my master is very rich and he has much land and he has great integrity and his name is great. That should represent that some aspect of that DNA is passed on to the son. And so he says he's looking for a wife. And the scripture declares that the woman is like, fine, I'm with it. Let's go. Let's do what we need to do. Take me to him. I want to meet him. I've been waiting forever. All right. So then she finally finds him. They hook up together. It's a beautiful union. And the Bible says that Rebecca was a special comfort to Isaac in the loss of his mother, which meant that woman brought an area to his life that filled a void. See, a lot of y'all guys, y'all just grabbing them because they look good. But can she help you with your purpose, your destiny, and fill the void? Huh? Well, she's so thick, though, but she's... I wish I had a church today to help me. That's what we're picking now? That's how we choose. Huh? The scripture declares that after, this is beautiful, y'all, Isaac gets married, the father is reminded that he still has something in him. This is crazy. I began to read this, and I started laughing. I said, God, why don't we ever teach this? The Bible declares that Abraham had suffered the loss of his wife, whom he loved so dearly, who they had seen promise come together, but they were productive. They produced. They were able to bring about a miracle child. Now, remember, when Isaac is born, he's considered a miracle child because she was not able to produce fruit. But from his obedience, Abraham produces what we thought was just simply a miracle. But I want to help somebody today. What starts off as a miracle can be your consistency if you understand how faith works. Because in one instance, he could barely get something to get off the ground. He was begging God for a seed. Lord, I heard you say I was going to be productive, but what's going on? But the Lord says, I need you to get your faith to a place where you and your wife will trust me not to create your own Ishmael, but to walk in a promise. Because all of your life, Abraham, you've always relied on your own ability, your own will. You've always thought that you had to have the support of the people. You always thought you had to have the support of the community. You always thought you had to have the money and the ducks lined up perfectly. But the truth is, all I need you to do is hear my voice. He says, once he heard his voice, he was able to produce, quote unquote, a miracle. But it wasn't really a miracle. It was a principle that when we trust the word of God that has been spoken over our lives, it will always be productive. Why? Because the text tells us that the very first thing God ever told man to do was to be fruitful and to multiply. God says, I don't want you to be fruitful seasonally. I want you to be fruitful continually. Which means you shouldn't just have a blessing every once in a while. You shouldn't just see prosperity every once in a while. You shouldn't just see growth every once in a while. No, God says, I want it to be so normal for you that when you open your mouth and declare a thing, it just comes to pass just like that. That you don't have to beg God. We're not begging our Father. We serve a good God, a good Father, who is willing to do what his children ask if they ask in faith. So then Abraham all of a sudden becomes the father of faith the moment that his miraculous instant takes place because he trusts God and says, Lord, I believe that you are capable and able to give me a child. He did not doubt. It was his wife that doubted and said, shall I know pleasure in this old age? But then eventually her faith kicked in and they produced a miracle. Here's the good part. The Bible does not say that the miracle production or the principal production was predicated on age. God waited until he was 100 years old to prove that God is not bound to the same timeline you think that he's bound to. I got to say this to y'all because a lot of you think that the dream that's on the inside of you is dead, is done. The vision God showed you, it's over. There's no way it's going to come to pass. I've gotten this old. I've lived. I don't know what I'm going to do at this point. And I was sent to wake up the dreamer on the inside of you and the visionary on the inside of you and say, if you can just stand in faith, you will produce in this season what you thought you could not produce. You will see in this season what you thought you could never see. I need 5 more praisers that will celebrate the fact that God's not done with what he said he was going to do in your life. Genesis 25, the text. Some of y'all are like, are you almost done? Almost. The Bible says, and Abraham married another wife. Now, that part is not for Pastor Jason, so don't y'all think that part was for him, because some of y'all, is it me? Am I Keturah? No, you just crazy. All right? That's not that part. Ooh, I see some bubble eyes. But the Bible says he married again. A woman whose name was Keturah. And here's the thing that's so interesting. There was no prayer. There was no worship session. There was no, I've got to believe God for a miracle. It says, the next line, she gave birth to 6 kids. Which meant that Abraham didn't just have one in the chamber. He had a full clip. Let me help y'all. He went from, y'all got to listen to this, being unable to produce to being overproductive. And it was not because his body suddenly remembered. It was because his faith put him back in the standing that God created him to live in. Be fruitful and multiply. Sarah said, but my husband's body is beyond the childbearing age. Her words put a limitation on his capability. Many of you in this room, the reason why you're failing is not because you don't have the ability to succeed. It's because you've made a faith declaration that is negative, and you spoke out of fear and said, you know what? I'm too old now. I don't have enough money to do it. I don't have enough education. I'm talking to the right church today. I don't have enough support. Everybody in my family dropped out of school. It's because I'm black, and you know the society we live in. The man tried to keep us down, and now that Donald Trump is the president, we ain't never going to be nothing. You wasn't nothing when Obama was the president because you didn't have no faith then. Huh? You're out of control. Oh, Lord Jesus. What we going to do now? The same thing you did then. Be late on your bills. Be tired. Be mad. Because you don't have faith that my confidence is not in an administration of this earthly world, but in the kingdom of God and his ability to supply for me. Abraham went from being almost productive with Ishmael because he had, listen, y'all, this is powerful. He had the ability to create. But because his wife didn't believe in him, he created in the wrong woman. He got Hagar pregnant, but that wasn't who God wanted to be impregnated. Let me break it down for you this way. There are so many people who are taking what the Lord has given them, and they're putting it in the wrong place. They're giving their talents to the wrong person. They're giving their heart to the wrong person. They're giving their ability to the wrong person. Because this way seems easier, but let me help you. If you are outside of the will of God, the easiest moment in your life will turn into the most difficult portion of the rest of your life. One moment in the wrong situation, all because it's right in your face, and the next thing you know, you're dealing with issues for years and years and years and years. A young man came to me one day and said, Pastor, my baby mama out of control. She driving me crazy. Well, the fact of the matter is he was married to a young woman in our church. He decided that this other girl was so fine. He cheated on his wife. He got her pregnant. And then they resolved it. They got back together. Praise the Lord. They were able to get beyond it. But he got the girl pregnant. And now that the girl is pregnant, he's got to raise the child. And every Sunday, Pastor, my baby mama. And one day I stopped and said, let me tell you something. You got 18 more years of that. what are you talking about? I said, I hope it don't happen for you, but here's the reality of it. When you decided that you just had to have it, that moment of you putting yourself in a compromising position did not create judgment. God is not judging you. God is not condemning you. What you are dealing with, son, is called consequence. So stop complaining and pay your child support. Because the baby, he ain't did nothing to nobody. It's not his fault that you stepped out. So man up and accept the consequence and keep living for God. Ooh, Pastor, you mean. No, I'm telling you how this thing works. Ishmael was created by you, Abraham. You didn't have to do that. But it still doesn't disqualify you from your Isaac. Oh, God. My issues don't disqualify me from my promise. So the Bible declares that he now produces a promise, and he says, you know what, man? I am still able to produce. I still have in me what God promised me to create many nations. He gets with Keturah. They create these children, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, as clear as day, what did I do for Abraham that was so powerful? I said, Lord, I don't know. He said, look at Genesis chapter number 24. Now, what we read was in 25, but in the chapter earlier, in verse number 1, it says this, Abraham was now very old. He was a very old man. Wasn't just old, he was very old. Which means that we specify very old in that when you're supposedly very old, you got to do less than what you used to be able to do. So he was in a season that on the outside, it looked like he would do less. On the outside, it looked like he had maximized his ability. On the outside, it looked like this was pretty much all God was going to do. God has done enough. But the Lord says, even though on the outside it looks like you've maximized, I've got something greater for you on the inside. And if you'll trust me, I'm going to break you out even in a season of being, quote unquote, very old, outdated, beyond your time, beyond your prime. I'm still God. He says, Abram was very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. And the Lord had blessed him in every way. Now, I don't have any Greek or Hebrew for you, Chinese, Japanese, African, none of that. All I know is every way means that God blessed him in all things. And the word all in every language means all. It just means all. And if you break it down in the Greek, it's all. That means in any possible way that he could be blessed, he was blessed, which would include his physical body. Which meant that in a time where he should have been dead, God still blessed him to be able to produce. In a time where it should have been over, God still blessed him to be able to produce. I came to tell somebody today, you still got it. You still got it. You may not think you've got it. You may feel like things have faded away. It looks as if all hope is lost. My son is unsaved. I don't know if they'll be saved. God, I've been praying for my baby, and it feels like they're getting further away. But the faith that it takes to pull them back, you still got it. I don't know about that because I can't make my child live for the Lord. I want to give you some Bible to kind of debate that today. Is that all right? For those of you that honestly believe that Satan can take your children, I'm going to preach to somebody today, and that you have no hope for your child because they smoke, they drink, they wild, they out there promiscuous, and it feels like there's no hope. The Bible says there was a Syrophoenician woman who went to Jesus on behalf of her daughter, and she began to cry out and say, Lord, help me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. Please, I need you to save my daughter. And the Bible says that Jesus did not respond to her. He did not answer her. He was silent. But the scripture says that no matter what he did, she kept falling down, and she began to worship. And she said, Lord, please have mercy on me, thou son of David. And as she began to worship him, the Bible declares he finally slows down. He says, wait a minute. I can't do it. It's not time. I'm supposed to help the Jews and not the Gentiles. He says, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs. And she said, truth. She didn't say, how dare you call me a dog. She said, true, Lord, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. I got issues. She said, but even the dogs are smart enough to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Let me help you. A dog eats better than the master. How do you know? Because a dog eats twice. Y'all got to catch this. The Bible declares that he said that the master is eating and the dogs get the crumbs that fall. So we also know the dogs have a feeding time of their own. Jesus says, eventually, I'm going to feed you, the Gentile nation, and give you salvation. She said, that's good, but I need you to bless me out of season. I know you're supposed to bless me next week, but I need you to bless me today. So how do I get the blessing? A lap dog gets under leadership, y'all quiet. And once that dog gets under, whatever falls on the master falls to the dog. A lot of y'all don't want to see your pastor blessed, but if you would ever submit to leadership, then you would see you. Oh, blessing out of season. The text says that the woman said, Lord, save my child. And Jesus says, be it unto you this very moment what you have asked. Now, y'all help me if you've ever read this. Nowhere in there did Jesus ask the daughter's permission to be delivered. He never said, well, let me go ask your daughter first. Take me to the house. And she was in the house just dancing, acting crazy. He said, hey, baby, do you want to be delivered? I ain't ready to live for you yet. Jesus says, you want her to be free? And the mother said, my faith is on behalf of my child who doesn't even want this. And Jesus said, no greater faith have I seen. Your daughter is delivered. I believe her daughter was at the club. She was having a good time. I don't care nothing about my mama. As a matter of fact, whoa. And she was like, I'm cool, girl. I'm cool. It's no problem. Let's go back out here and dance. She went, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Because when the power of God moves and faith is released, you're still able to produce even when you think you ain't got it. Tell somebody you still got it. You still. Listen to what I am telling you right now. I declare as a prophetic voice and apostolic authority in 2017, all the way from South Bend, Indiana, God is saying that this house still has it. And he has maximized what he's going to do in this moment. That's why he's ready to bust you out of this moment and bring you into a divine moment in Jesus' name. There are people all over this country that are going to know the name of this man of God and this woman of God. And it ain't because they preach better than Jake's or they sing better than Israel. It's because they have been submissive and humble and said, Lord, we want to be used by you. If you wasn't going to use us, you could have left us back where we are. But the Lord said, now is the time. I've allowed you to settle. I've allowed you to sit. But I hear the Lord saying, it's time to change your name from Abram to Abraham. And it's time for y'all to be more productive now than you've ever been. Tell somebody real quick, you still got it. You still got it. I need five praises right now that'll praise the Lord for the fact that there's still something on the inside of you that is unfulfilled and not finished. Is there anybody in here that'll praise God for the work on the inside of you? I still got power. I still got joy. I still got a business on the inside. I still got a degree on the inside. I still got hope on the inside. It is so.